He will pour water over dry ground, and he'll create rivers in the desert. And there is a time when in our worship that the heavens open. What we encountered tonight was probably, or what we are encountering, we're not out of it yet. We're still in it. And quite frankly, I'm really not planning on getting out of it. Tonight, probably what we have encountered is the purest worship that I've been in years. We got caught in a vortex, and we got caught in an open portal tonight. And I'll tell you why that happens and how it happens. Anytime that people come together and they begin to focus on what really matters, and that is the Father and His kingdom, when your focal point becomes Him, and what He does is He'll come and He'll rest in a place. There's a scripture in Psalms that says God inhabits the praises of His people. In the Japanese Bible, whenever you read that translation, their wording is different than ours. And their translation reads, when God's people praise, He brings a big chair and He sits right down in the middle of them. And a friend of mine who is a missionary to the Japanese taught me that. And he said, there's nothing that'll draw the presence of the Lord like worship. And I want you to understand, and some of you tonight probably have never been in anything like this, and that's okay. It's good that the Lord allowed you to experience this tonight, because you are forevermore messed up. The other kind of worship won't satisfy you anymore. Because what we've encountered tonight is something that is more than what you read off of a page or you sing off of a screen. It's the expression of the heart, and it's a fulfillment of John 4. When Jesus was meeting with the woman at the well, she said, well, our fathers say that in this mountain we worship, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem you worship. And he looked at her and he said, neither one. Neither one is correct. Because there is coming a time, there's coming a day, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And I'm going to tell you something. What we have created in our church Christianity in America, what we have created in our productions, has fallen completely short of what the Father heart of God longs for. You see, the Father heart of God longs for sons and daughters to sing to Him. And I'm a father, and I don't really care what my kids sing to me. I just want them to sing. And when I hear their voice, it's the most beautiful sound I've ever heard. It's the same way with you. When we begin to sing in the Spirit tonight, and when we begin to just really press in into what God has, I'm telling you, He was pleased. Every hair on my body stood out, straight out, I think. And I could just sense the presence of the Lord as God just says, this is what I want. And whenever you get into an open heaven and you begin to encounter the Lord, you realize that in that moment, in that time, and in that place, that what God does is God causes us to recognize that He is turning us. You see, the truth is there was a turning inside all of us tonight. there was a transitioning where God was taking us into that place, and it was not appropriate for us to do anything except be able to give expression of our heart to Him. You can't orchestrate what we've been in tonight. Do you understand that? And don't ever try. But what you can do is you can create an atmosphere where this becomes the norm, yet not the familiar. And the thing you got to realize is how to encounter the norm of what God is, but yet don't become so familiar with it that you take advantage of it. And the truth is that the Lord is really, He's really trying to teach us how we can encounter Him. And I want to tell you, late last year, the Lord spoke to me concerning 2011, and there's three predominant things, and I shared with Jerry today and with others something the Lord had spoken to me. It was so interesting because the Lord spoke to me, and He said He gave me eight things that would take place this year, and so far every one of them have. But the first three things He spoke to me was very, very credible. Very credible, but it had incredible results. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's credible in the sight that when the Lord spoke these three things to me, the credibility of what He said was so powerful, yet the impact is incredible. It is off the charts correct. And the first three things He told me about this year is He said, everything I do next year will begin to be presence-driven. He said, I'm going to begin to drive the church with my presence. And literally, He told me, He said, I'm going to have a hostile takeover. My spirit is going to take over the church again. And what we have encountered, what we're encountering tonight is going to be the norm. Because in the presence-driven church, what happens is God is the one in control, not man, not us. So what we learn to do is not control what God does. We learn to steward it. It's kind of like the captain of a ship who simply just turns the rudder. We just steward. We take what is imparted to us, what is given to us, and we learn how to take that and literally hurl what has come from heaven back to heaven, so that there becomes a glorious exchange between God and man. Because what happens is when the divine nature of God begins to infiltrate the human nature of man, the divine always wins and it always triumphs. Consequently, brokenness comes to us. And when I speak of brokenness, I'm not talking about a kind of a brokenness that spills out. Interestingly enough, it's the kind of brokenness that brings a filling up. God's the only one that can break you and fill you to where you hold what is poured in. Now, I cannot explain to you how that works. Because in our mindsets, when something is broken, it can't hold anything. But the truth is when God breaks you, you can hold more in brokenness than you can in wholeness. Do you understand the prophetic revelation in what I just said? You can be full in your brokenness and empty in your wholeness. Because the truth is not all wholeness is holiness. 3 years ago, the Lord told me, He said, I spell holiness a different way. He said, you spell it H-O-L-I-N-E-S-S. I spell holiness W-H-O-L-I-N-E-S-S. Because He said, my kind of holiness is whole. But He said, I have to punch a hole in it first. Jesus was no more holy than when He was on the cross, yet He had holes pierced in His body. It's a paradox, isn't it? In the time that He was empty, He was at His fullest. Because He was in the divine plan and destiny the Father had given him. Do you understand that? And whatever the Lord told me, he said that what I do next year is going to be presence driven. I'm going to come and I'm going to drive what I do. And he said, therefore, you have to become a steward of what I'm doing. Don't try to take over. Just steward what I bring. And I'm telling you, my life in ministry this year has taken on a whole different dynamic, because it's not what I do for God, it's what I do with God that makes the difference. And I'm going to tell you something right now. There's a much greater life when we learn to work with God rather than working for God. God doesn't need you to work for Him. You're not a slave. You're a son and a daughter. He wants you to work with Him in a family business called the kingdom. You see, the truth is, we're all prince and princesses. We're all princes and princesses. You got to understand that. Because we're under the king. The second thing the Lord spoke to me is really clear. He said that once my presence drives what I do, he said, then there will be a relentless pursuit of those that have captured my heart. The best scripture I can give you is for that isn't found in Philippians chapter 3, whenever Paul said, not that I've obtained it, neither have I become perfect, but I must apprehend that which has apprehended me in Christ Jesus. So what he said was, is he caught me. Now I got to catch him. He's apprehended me. Do you know what it is to apprehend someone? And Paul says, I've been apprehended. Now I've got to lay hold of what got me. Something's got me. Now I got to get it. And I'm going to tell you where we have failed. God got us, but we never chased him. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If you want God and you want all that he has, you need to learn divine pursuit. You got to learn how to pursue God with everything in your being. A lot of people say, well, I'm just going to rest in the Lord. I'm going to wait on the Lord. Well, the waiting on the Lord that we encounter and that God's given us is not sitting down and doing nothing. Waiting on the Lord is what my sons do. My sons are waiters in restaurants. And you know what? They wait on their customers. It's time for us to learn how to wait on the Lord by serving him and honoring him and blessing him by pursuing him. You know what David said? David said this. He said, my soul follows hard after you, O God. Now, I want to tell you what God said about David. He's a man after my own heart. He said, my soul follows hard after you, O God. And God says, yeah, and you're after my heart. I like it. And I'm telling you tonight, the thing we've got to learn how to do is we have to learn how to relentlessly pursue the presence and protect the presence of the Lord at all costs. There was a time in the history of Israel, and you can read about this in the book of Chronicles. There's a time in the history of Israel when they lost the ark, and David, whenever he took over being king, he went after the ark of the Lord, and he went and got it, and he built a new cart. And they put the ark of the Lord on the new cart, and they started back to Jerusalem with it, and they got on some unlevel ground, and whenever the ark began to be shaken and moving around, Uzzah reached up, and he touched the ark to steady it on the new cart. And the anger of the Lord, the scripture says, burned against him, and God killed him because he touched the glory. He touched the ark. And a lot of people would say, you know, why would God kill a man because he was trying to steady something that was so priceless and precious and holy? Why would God do that? Because God says, don't touch it. And what happened was, is that in Uzzah's pursuit of the Lord, or in He wanted to see God do what he had to do. The problem with that was, it wasn't so much the fact that Uzzah steadied the cart, it was the fact that they carried it the wrong way that was the real issue. Okay? So when you read that story, don't get caught up in Uzzah dying because he touched the ark to steady it. Find out why he had to steady the cart and the ark. And realize that what happened was, is that they didn't carry it. So they took the ark and they put it in a guy's house. His name was Obed-Edom. And Obed-Edom housed the ark of the Lord for a period of 3 months. And you can imagine here, Obed-Edom has a house and the ark of God is sitting in his living room. And every day him and his wife and his kids had to walk around the ark of the Lord. And the scripture says that during that 3 months, everything that he and his house did was blessed. The blessing of God rested in Obed-Edom's house. Why? Because the presence of the Lord resided there. There is no blessing outside the presence like the presence can bring. Do you understand that? David went back to Jerusalem and he said, we got to figure this thing out. We built a new cart. And when David went back and researched and began to find out how the ark had to be transported, what happened was is that he realized that instead of an ark being put on a cart, there had to be poles made. And that the ark was not to be carried on a cart that could be pushed or driven or pulled. It had to be carried on the shoulders of men. And so what happened was is that David went back and he picked up the poles and he made them according to the directions that the Lord had given them to carry the ark. Took them back and he put them in the rings that were on the side of the ark. And he got the priests and they went in there and they got the ark and they brought the priest out. And David began sacrificing to the Lord all the way back into Jerusalem. You see, if David would have started like he finished, everything would have been a whole lot better. And I'm going to tell you, when we look at that and David begins carrying the ark appropriately back into Jerusalem, what happened was is the blessing of the Lord came down on the way that they did it. Now, the whole thing we need to understand tonight is that what God does is when we have an encounter with the Lord, we cannot presume that we can carry anything the way that we think it ought to be done. What we have to assume is that God wants this thing carried the way that he designed it to be carried. And the thing about it is that God is setting us up. And what I'm about to say to you is prophetic in nature. I want you to understand that. What happens is that God is setting us up for a visitation. Anytime that you have what we have encountered tonight, there's a visitation pending. It's on the way. You understand? Now listen, I'm telling you something that you don't need to walk out of here and say, well, wasn't that wonderful? And that's great. Let's do that again. You need to walk out of here saying something's on the way. I need to get myself ready for when it gets here. Because what's happening is the Lord is forewarning us and foretelling us that there's a coming visitation of his presence. I have a friend in Colorado who now lives in Alabama. A prophet had come through and just told him, says, the Lord's going to visit your place for 90 days. And they knew that there was a visitation on the way, and they knew that there was a 90-day encounter that was coming. What was interesting was they didn't know when it was going to happen. And one Sunday morning, they went in there and began to worship, and God fell down on top of all of them. And boy, whenever the Lord fell down on them, all of a sudden, wham, the presence of God came. They were in there on Sunday morning. They stayed until some people had left, and then they came back Sunday night, but there were people there all Sunday afternoon, Sunday night. Several people stayed Sunday night through the night worshiping, spending time with the Lord all day on Monday. They came back Monday night, worship. Tuesday night, people stayed there, worshiped through the night, all day Tuesday. Three girls were there on Tuesday night, continued to worship throughout Tuesday night. They worshiped till about noon on Wednesday. And these three girls that were there. They went to church Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and never left until Wednesday at noon. And there were others that came and went. About noon, they all decided they would go home and take a shower and get ready for the service at night. When they came back that night to meet at 7 o'clock, it was dead. Nothing. It was gone. What came on Sunday that lingered till noon on Wednesday was no longer there. So when they came together to meet and they got up to do their worship, it was just like every other Sunday, every other time they'd ever worship. And they cried out to God and said, God, you said you were staying for 90 days. Lord, you gave us a word that you were going to come and you were going to rest on us for 90 days. And they began to pray, and they prayed and prayed. They worshiped and prayed for 2 hours, rode around into the third hour. They got on their faces and began to cry out to God. And finally, the Lord spoke to my friend who was leading that congregation at the time, and this is what he said. He said, I told you I was going to come. I didn't tell you when. But I told you before my coming that I would come and that I would rest with you and I would stay with you for 90 days. But he said, when the last person left today at noon, I left with them because I didn't come to fill a room. I didn't come to fill a chair. I didn't come to fill carpet. I came to fill people. So when the last person left, I left with them. And he said, if you want to encounter my presence for 90 days, then you'll keep worship going for 90 days and I'll stay with you. And the whole congregation repented and asked for forgiveness of being apathetic and insensitive to the presence of the Lord. And he came back that night. And he stayed there for 87 days after that. They didn't clean the building for 90 days. They picked up the big stuff, did what they had to keep the bathrooms clean. No preaching for 90 days. No cell groups for 90 days. No ministries for 90 days. Just God for 90 days. One of the men came to my friend and says, what are we going to do, you know, about the people in discipleship? He looked at him. He said, if God is not big enough to take care of people, we sure don't have anything to offer them. And I'm going to tell you something right now, and this is a stern rebuke to the body of Christ. And understand that what I'm about to say, I say with all the love and compassion for you and for the body of Christ that I have in my heart. But I'm telling you right now, folks, we stink when it comes to obedience. And we have no clue what it is to be sensitive. You are not sensitive to the presence of the Lord. You're sensitive to what you want to do, when you want to do it. And I'm telling you, God's sick of it. If you want him, you need to understand it's really all about him and it's not about you. Now, I love you, but I'm having to take a hard dose of that in my own life. We've built a narcissistic church that's built around our desires. And I'm just telling you, I don't care what you want anymore. I care what he wants. He is why we're here. Is that okay? And you know what? We need to feel cut deep in our spirit right now that we've made church all about us and nothing about God. And I'm telling you, church as usual is over. God cares about one thing only. How are you going to carry his presence his way? And if you think you got a better idea, there's the door. Get out now. Because I really don't care anymore what we think about God. I care about what he thinks. Does that make sense? And that's the cry of my heart right now. Listen, I've been pastoring 29 years. I've been in this for 36. I didn't start yesterday. Okay? But I'm telling you right now, we're at a place where we're going to have to look at our own lives, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to have to draw some hard conclusions. And we're going to have to realize that God is interested in filling us. But we're going to have to give him something to fill. Amen. It's about learning how to steward his presence. And that sounds really hard. Catherine Kuhlman one time was in a meeting in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And they had gone through worship. But yet the spirit had been grieved. And what happened was is that whenever that grieving had come along, she just came out. I mean, no healings were taking place. Nothing was moving. And she just came out and she just rebuked the whole bunch. And she said, we got to quit grieving the Holy Spirit and stay with him. And when people in that room begin to repent of grieving the Holy Spirit and trying to contain God and holding God at arm's length, when people begin to repent and ask God to forgive, the miracles started flowing. People began getting out of wheelchairs and throwing down crutches. Cancers began falling off bodies. And it was all because rather than resisting the Lord, they embraced him. Do you see the difference? And what we've done in America is in our churches, we have resisted God. We've contained him to an hour on Sunday morning, maybe an hour and a half. We contained him to one or two days a week, and we lived our life in accordance to our desires rather than his. And we have not carried the presence and his glory the way he wanted it carried. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? I love everyone, but I'm telling you right now, I love him more than I love you. I really do. And I'm going to tell you, I don't fear you, but I do fear him. And I'm going to tell you what, he's not above a cart, an Uzzah, and a good killing. He's not above it. He literally is a God who wants things done his way. And you say, boy, that sounds so hard. Yeah, to a people in America who have everything their way, yeah, it does really sound pretty hard to us. But in a kingdom where God is in control, you understand the power of that. When you get as hungry for the presence of the Lord as I am, you'll move whatever you have to move in order to get in it. What we have encountered tonight, I've encountered numerous times in my life in ministry. I remember one time in our congregation back in Texas, what happened tonight happened there. And we lingered for 3 hours. Nobody said a word. But we knew he was there. Now, I want to tell you, do you know he's here tonight? Do you know he showed up in our worship? If you didn't, I want to introduce you to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and a Savior who loves you because you need to be saved. Amen. Only those who are really connected with the Lord can understand the power of the presence. And you have to learn to identify it when it comes along. You have to learn how to turn into and be able to embrace what God did. In Exodus chapter 3, we read the story of Moses. And Moses was tending his father-in-law's flocks on the backside of Horeb. And the truth is that he went to Horeb as a herder. As a rancher, he was he literally was shepherding Jethro's flocks. And while he was shepherding the flocks of his father-in-law, the scripture says that Moses was in the wilderness, that he came to Horeb, the mountain of the Lord. And when he got to Horeb, there was something unique that happened. Moses came up on a burning bush. And the scripture says that he turned and he looked at this bush, and the angel set the bush on fire. And Moses stopped and he looked at that bush. And he noticed something about the bush. He noticed that the bush was on fire, but it wasn't consumed. When the presence and the glory of the Lord comes, we get caught in it and ignited with it. But we never burn out of it. Does that make sense to you? What happened was, is that bush that was ignited and on fire, and what was interesting, according to history, is that that bush was not unusual in that it was ignited, because there were times whenever bushes in the desert would just ignite because they were so dry and so brittle and it was so hot, that was not unusual. But they all burned up. They were all consumed. This one wasn't consumed. It never burned up. It was in a continual state of burning. And it was because the angel of the Lord had rested there. So Moses turned and he looked at that thing and he said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight. Now, I want to tell you something about the presence and the glory of the Lord. It won't tell you what he's preparing you for. There, some of you are about to have some horrible encounters. And you guys in this whole region are getting set up right now for visitation of the Lord. And you can do one of two things. You can, once you see what God's doing and you see the marvelous sight, you can look at it and say, that's great and that's awesome. I'm glad God's doing that and that's neat. And keep on walking and miss everything that he does. Or you can turn aside and you can turn into the burning bush like Moses did. And you can say, this is a marvelous sight. I've got to go see this. I've got to experience this. I've got to encounter this. Now, I want to tell you something that's really, really deep in my heart, and I want you to hear me when I say this, okay? God's looking for a people who want to encounter him in his fullness without limitation. The scripture says that he gives his spirit without measure. Okay? What that means is when God starts pouring into us, there is no end to the pouring until we tell God to stop. There is no end to the soaking unless we say, Lord, I don't want that, or we abandon it. Now, I want you to see something that's very interesting in Exodus chapter 3. When Moses turned into that bush and he began to look at that bush, he saw something he had never seen before. He encountered something he had never encountered before. And I'm going to tell you something right now with all my heart and all the love that I have in here, okay? Say, I love you. Come on. Good. Thank you. I love y'all too. The church has limited her exposure to the Lord, and we've limited our exposure to God, thinking that we've got all it is. When I made a statement earlier and I said church as usual is over, I said that tonight, said that yesterday. I want you to understand it's over. You need to understand, September the 24th, we stepped into a whole new era. And right now there are people that are walking away from churches by the drove because they're not satisfied with what man can give. They'll only be satisfied with what the Lord will give. And what's happening is people are beginning to turn into the marvelous thing that God's doing. Now, we don't know what it fully looks like, and we don't know what's going to happen. We just know God's up to something, because there's a holy dissatisfaction in our spirits and our hearts, and we know one thing, going back is not an option. Going forward is the only option we have. And I'm telling you tonight, guys, if you think you can go back and worship without the presence after being in what you encountered tonight, listen, you're going to say, dear God, can I get back in there again? Tonight is when heaven kissed earth and we got caught in the smack. It's where we looked at the presence of the Lord and we looked at the burning bush and we saw. You know why Moses turned into that burning bush? Because he saw something he'd never seen before. And whenever he saw it, he knew. This wasn't some man set this thing on fire. There's something about this fire that's different. I don't know what it is yet. But there's something about this fire. And there's something about this bush that is so unique. I've got to see what's happening. Now, there was an interesting phenomenon that took place whenever Moses turned aside and stared at the bush. When he looked at the bush and he began to approach it, the scripture says that the Lord spoke to Moses out of the bush. And he said, "Moses, Moses." And Moses says, "Here I am. Listen to me." God didn't speak to Moses until he turned aside and approached it. He had to turn aside and look into it. He had to literally take effort and say, "You know what? I'm not going to go on taking care of this flock. I've got to go see about this bush." He forgot the flock, left the flock behind, turned into the bush. It was after he turned into what God had done that Moses heard God call his name. Do you know why many of us don't hear the Lord call our name? Because we never turn into what God is doing. We see it, we look at it, we walk by it, and, "Oh, that's cool, that's nice, that's awesome. I'm glad they're getting blessed. When am I going to get blessed?" How about when you turn aside and look to see what God's doing? That's when you get blessed. When am I going to get, when am I going to get my part? Well, if you're not going to turn aside, you're not going to get your part. It's just that plain and simple. See, the truth is God gives his spirit without measures to those who seek him. And you know, the truth is God has really brought us to a place to where he's really beginning to show us once again what it is to pursue him. And I'm telling you what God's interested in. He's interested in your pursuit. He's interested in my pursuit. Let me tell you, we've preached enough that this thing should have got better, and it's got worse. There's only one thing we're going to do, and that is we're going to worship our way out of this one. Because the third thing the Lord told me about 2011 is this. He said, "You're going to war in a new way. You'll war through worship." And he said, "I'm releasing a fresh sound of worship throughout the United States of America, and whenever it's heard, it will turn the hearts of people to me." And that's what God's doing. Now, I love Amazing Grace and standing on the promises and all that other stuff. But guys, as written a long time ago in a different era for a group of people that were pursuing God, how about let's write some songs of pursuit for the Lord? How about let's worship today with a relentless pursuit? I don't have any problem with the old, but we're not living in the old. We're living in the new. Nobody drove up in here a Model A or Model T. Everybody in here came in a new way of transportation. Guys, it's time to get into the new transportation toward the Lord. It's time to get with what God's doing today. It really is. And whenever Moses turned aside, it was so interesting because whenever he turned aside to look in this bush and God called his name, Moses immediately, he just said, "Lord, I'm here. Here I am." He didn't fight him. He didn't do anything. In fact, it was kind of strange because all of a sudden here's a guy who is talking to a bush that's on fire. Now, how strange is that? But here's the deal. The bush is talking to him. There's only one thing stranger than a man talking to the bush, and that is the bush talking to him first. You know, if you walk by a bush and you hear something, look in there, and if there's not a speaker hidden in that bush somewhere, you better be still. And you better pay attention to what's going on. Because what happened was that when Moses would consume with the voice of the Lord, he simply yielded himself to God. And when he recognized who it was, because when he got up, the Lord told him, he says, "I want you to take your shoes off." And he said, the ground you're standing on is holy ground. And whatever this holy ground that you're standing on, this holy ground that you're in, he said, this holy ground is going to be a place where you're going to be radically changed. I love the next thought, the next verse. It says, and Moses hid his face because he realized this is God. Wow. He hid his face because he knew if he were to look on the true holiness of God, he literally would be a dead man. And I'm going to tell you something we're going to have to learn to do once again, and that is to fear the Lord and his holiness. You can't shake your fist in God and your willful sin and your unforgiveness and your rebellious heart and expect God to bring blessing in your life. It doesn't happen that way. We're going to have to fear God again. We're going to have to realize, oh, God, you're speaking. We might want to hide our face, because whenever we look at his holiness, it's going to literally change who we are. You see, God's he's in the business of transformation. And what happens is, when God brings us to that place of transformation, he begins taking us to a holy place, and he says, I want you to understand, where you're standing now is holy. Take your shoes off. There can't be anything between me and you. Can I just tell you something? God created man to be naked before him. God didn't create us to stand before him with fig leaves and with coverings of animal skins. God created us to be completely naked. He didn't want anything between us and him. And I'm going to tell you something right now. When you get into the presence and the glory of the Lord, you're going to have to strip everything off you and get so totally naked and honest before the Lord, there's nothing between you and him. I mean, how do you hide from God anyway? I hadn't figured that one out yet. I mean, you know, here's a God who created the universe, and I think a fig leaf's going to cover me up, or an animal skin's going to cover me up. No, what's happening is, and this is what God was telling Moses, he said, take your shoes off, because he said, where you're at is holy, and I have something I need to say to you. You see, whenever Moses went to Horeb, he received his life's assignment. Up until this time, he was a rancher, a herder. He came to Horeb that way, but when he left Horeb, he left Horeb as a deliverer of the children of Israel out of Egypt. You see, when he went to Horeb, his assignment came to him. Not only that, he was commissioned. When God told him, he said, I want you to understand, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh's house. I've heard the cry of my people, and you're going to go in there, and you're going to bring my people out, and they're going to experience freedom, and you're going to have an encounter with them, and this is what I'm going to do through you. God looked at him and said, Moses, here's your assignment. Now here's your commission. Guys, whenever we go to Horeb, whenever we get into the presence of the Lord, we get our assignments, we get our commissionings, we get the word of the Lord to us. It was at Horeb whenever God took Moses to the mountain for 40 days after he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he went up there and he received the word of the Lord and the Ten Commandments, and he came back down. And it was at Horeb that idol worship was exposed. Because whenever Moses, in fact, God told him, says, go back down, my children have played a harlot, and go down there and get them straightened out. And y'all know the story. Moses got mad, threw the Ten Commandments down, shattered the whole deal, rebuked all of them, ground the calf up, made them drink it. Do you know that? He made them drink their idol worship. And he said, don't you ever do that again. Now, that's wrongology for the word. But what God did is he confronted their idolatry. He confronted the worship at Horeb that wasn't where it needed to be. And I'm telling you right now, what God is doing with us in America, he's confronting our idol worship. And I don't mean bass boats and fur coats. I'm talking about the idol worship that is in the churches that is so shallow and will never connect with the heart of God. That's idol worship. The idol worship we need to deal with right now is the worship of man, and it's the worship of men's way of doing things. Guys, a cart was never appropriate to carry the ark and never will be. And guess what? A performance is not a way to carry the presence of the Lord, and it never will be. It is only going to be carried by people who are living in total abandonment of the Lord and who are willing to come to God and say, God, you know what? I'm here, and I'm willing to divest myself of whatever I have to divest myself from in order to have an encounter with you. That's who's going to encounter his presence. That's who's going to encounter his glory. That's who's going to have a move with him. But here's the thing at Horeb that just strikes me as so awesome. Because down in verse 12 of Exodus chapter 3, this is what God said. He said, certainly I will be with you. God said to Moses, my presence will never leave you. I'm with you from this day forward, Moses. When you met me at Horeb and you turned into me, you turned aside to grab hold of me. And when you turned aside to see what I was doing, he said, now then, I've got you. And I'll never leave you. My presence will be with you. And here's a sign I'm going to give to you. Here's the sign. Many of you haven't seen this. Many of you have read over this deal, but you need to see it in verse 12. He said, here's the sign that I'm going to be with you, and I brought the people out of Egypt. You're going to worship me at this mountain. Here's the sign. Here's the sign that God is with us. Here's the sign that we've captured his presence. Here's the sign. Listen to me. Here is the sign that God's got us and we got him. You want to know what it is? We will worship God. Worship is the sign. Do you hear me? Guys, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know how many of you in this room are preachers or pastors or whatever, but I'm just going to tell you right now, none of us have ever preached a message that impressed God ever. It might have impressed you or maybe impressed a few folks, but none of us have ever impressed God with our message. God has never one time leaned over the balcony of heaven and said, you know, I've never thought about that. The Lord has never looked down through an open portal and said, that's a good word right there. I guess I'd really need that today. You don't ever find God encountering that. But I will tell you what does impress him. Worship. There's only one thing this side of eternity that catches God's attention and keeps it. It's only one thing. It's only one thing that God's looking for. And it's not anything that we do as far as imparting. Now, I'm all for good preaching, good teaching. I don't have a problem with it. In fact, whenever I hear good preaching and teaching, it ought to encourage me. It ought to correct me. It ought to adjust me. It ought to bring me into a place. And I've said a few hard things tonight because, you know, when there's an elephant in the room, you need to say, hey, there's an elephant in the room. Here's the elephant. We can go ahead and dance around and think we're doing real good, but until you realize, you know what, we're not doing real good. Somebody's got to say, we're not doing real good. We need to do better than we've been doing. Does that make sense? I mean, hey, listen, I'm not screaming and hollering at you. In fact, the Lord told me when I stood up here, he said, don't raise your voice. Okay. But here's what he said in John, and I alluded to it earlier, but I want you to see this. In verse 23 and 24, he said, an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. John 4:23, God's looking. He's seeking. Do you understand? He's looking for that. He's seeking that out. God says, if you'll seek me and find me, you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart, and I will be found of you. That's what he said. And he said, whenever you search for me with everything you have, he said, you're going to find me, and I'm going to pour out on you. But here's the deal. We've got to understand that when the Father comes, he's coming because people have worshiped him. For God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Do you know what the word must means? It means you must. It means there's no other way. There's no formula. But we have to recognize the presence of the Lord when it comes. Do you recognize him? See, the truth is in the United States of America, we haven't encountered his presence enough to recognize that it's his presence. Is that true or not? Do you know what he smells like? Have you ever smelled him before? I was acquainted with this back in the 90s when we began to worship, and all of a sudden there would be this smell that would fill the room up. It was a real sweet floral aroma and smell, and it would just smell the whole room. And, I mean, the room would just be so consumed. I mean, no air fresheners in the room. I'm talking about the presence of the Lord. And everybody look around, and I remember in our congregation out there, people look around. I mean, when that would happen, their eyes would light up, and they're like, he's here, he's here. And I went one day and I said, Lord, why do you smell that way? He said, because I'm the Rose of Sharon. That's what the Rose of Sharon smells like. So when I come, that's what I smell like. Wow. I was telling that story the other day, and there was I was in Coleman, Alabama, speaking in a church, and there was a guy there. He's up in his 60s, almost 70, owned a large car dealership in Decatur, Alabama, and a radio station. And this old guy went out to get in his car and come to church at night, and his garage, not his house, his garage where he kept his cars filled up with this aroma. So he asked his wife, said, you got some new perfume on, or did you put something out here in the garage? She said, well, I put some new trash can liners with this odor thing in it. He went and stuck his head in the trash can to see what it smelled like. He said, no, that's not it. I keep smelling this floral sweet smell. He comes to church at night, and I start teaching on the presence of the Lord, how to recognize the presence of going to Horeb. And she's sitting there punching during the whole deal. I looked out there, this old man, tears running down his face. Didn't say a word, left. 2 days later, a friend of mine called me and said, I just had lunch with Mac Bramlett. I said, you did? He said, yeah. He told me about your sermon Wednesday night. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said he sat there for 2 hours over lunch and wept because he didn't understand what he smelled in his garage. But whenever you told the story, he connected that he had encountered the presence of the Lord in his garage, and he said it forever changed his life. He said, here's a man that's almost 70 years old that is broken and hungry to encounter God's presence. His pastor called me a week later and says, I don't know what's happened to Mac, but that Wednesday night, God arrested him. And he's forever changed. You see, one moment in his glory will change who you are. One moment in his presence will radically transform you. Then we went through a time where we would go in, begin to worship, and the heavy, weighty presence of the Lord would come in. I remember one time I looked around. We were worshiping, and the instruments quit, and the singers quit, and I looked around. They were all laying out on the floor, weeping, crying. I looked around out in the congregation. People began to just get out of their chairs and lay down and just cry and weep. The weighty presence of God came and rested. I was in our congregation back in Alabama when the Kabod came. It's called the Kabod, K-A-B-A-D, Kabod of the Lord. When the Kabod came, sat down on top of that church for about 2 to 3 hours. Nobody could move. Everybody was paralyzed. No babies crying, no children moving. Nobody, everybody was glued to their seats, including me. What was that? It was a weighty presence of the Lord. I asked God, I said, God, why did you come like that? He said, because y'all are always in a hurry to leave. So he said, I just paralyzed everybody because I want their attention. After that, I began to pay attention. You see, a lot of times we don't understand the presence of the Lord because we've never encountered him. I was sitting in my room the other day reading Exodus 3. I wasn't even in the New Testament. I was reading Exodus chapter 3, and here he came. I was sitting in my chair, had my Bible open. I began to just weep. I just started crying. Nothing I can do. I was wiped out for 2 hours. Couldn't get out of my chair, couldn't move. I sat there and just cried. My wife walked by and just looked at me. She said, he's here. And I said, I was going to speak that night. She had to help me to the car and drive me to the place that I was speaking. She helped me get in the building. I sat down and was wiped out. Finally got up to speak, and guess what happened when I opened my mouth? Here he came. Just wiped out the whole place. What is that about? It's about his presence. See, sometimes you can smell him when he comes. Sometimes you can sense his presence. Have you ever met the Prince of Peace? A place where you get into his presence, and whenever he shows up, everything stops. And all of a sudden you feel complete peace. It's almost as if everything in the world doesn't matter anymore. every bit of the turmoil, every bit of the things that we struggle with, everything that has worried us, concerned us, it's like it doesn't even matter. All of a sudden, there's this complete peace, and it's almost as if your whole being stands still. It's called the Prince of Peace. See, he just comes and he sits down. And whenever he sits down on you, all of a sudden, there isn't anything to do. No place to go. You don't care because your appointments come on high. You see, we know how to honor men, but the real question is, do we know how to honor God? Do we really know how to honor him whenever he shows up? Do we really know how to come into that place where we allow him to transform who we are and our being comes to a complete standstill because he shows up and he transforms who we are? Listen to me. 1 minute, 2 minutes in the presence of the Lord will take you weeks to process. God can do more with you in a moment when he's speaking to you, or maybe two, than your brain and your body can work through for days. I'm telling you, when God comes, there's literally an arresting of your spirit, because what happens is all of a sudden everything you've been doing for God stops and God starts doing in you. And all of a sudden everything in you comes unwound because you realize, God, no longer can I have you the way I thought I could have you. I must have you the way that you come and you reveal yourself to me. Could you imagine what it was like for Moses whenever he stood on the cleft of that rock and the Lord passed by him and he took his hand away and he stepped out of that rock and his whole being was illuminated with the glory of the Lord? How do you tell somebody about that? There's no word on this earth that begins to convey the thought process of who God is. But I'm going to tell you what the presence of God will do. 1 minute in his presence will break every addiction in your life. 1 moment in his presence will set you free from any bondage you've ever encountered. 1 moment in his presence will release you from the guilt and the condemnation of past lifestyle sins, habits, and wrongs, mistakes that you have made. 1 moment in his presence will undo everything that you have done in a lifetime. Everything. Because whenever a holy God meets unholy man, man becomes holy, because God cannot be unholy. You see, the truth is, your presence doesn't change him, but his presence will always change you. Are you with me? And what we have to learn how to do is, we got to learn that what God is doing, he's seeking out unholy men and women like you and I who have got tremendous holes in our being. And you know what? Listen, the greatest one of us in this room and the most holy one of us in this room has got some holes. Now, let's just be honest about this deal. But whenever when unholy man meets holy God, God plugs the holes and fills us up. And all of a sudden, everything that we used to be is no longer, because now he is. Because he said, I am. Do you understand? Now here's what's so interesting about Exodus 3. When Moses walked up to the bush and he turned aside and he began to look into the bush, and that attention that he gave the bush created a vortex in which Moses was caught in the very mind and the heart of the Father. When he was in that vortex of the presence of the Lord and he heard God's voice, Moses said, "Here I am." And then when God began to speak to Moses, he said, "Moses, I want you to go set my people free." And Moses says, "Well, that's great. Who am I going to tell them who sent me? Who am I going to tell him has told me to do this? I mean, you know, I just can't go up and say, well, I'm going to do this." And you know what God said? "I am that I am. You tell him I am sent you." Now listen to me. Y'all never got what I'm fixing to tell you, but we're going to get it tonight. When Moses went to the bush and God called his name, he said, "Here I am." When God commissioned Moses and gave him an assignment, God said to Moses, here I am. You go tell them I am sent you. When Moses said, here I am, he opened his life to covenant. When God said, I am, he extended covenant. And when the I am of man met the I am of God, covenant relationship was established. And I'm going to tell you something right now. You can't have covenant with God if you're not willing to extend yourself to him. And you can't have covenant with him unless he extends himself to you. But I'm going to tell you how the terms of this thing always comes about, his way. Because he'll take you where you've never been before. And he'll do in you what only he can do. Now, I'm going to tell you tonight, with all my heart, God's calling us to a higher level. Prophetically, let me tell you what's about to happen. We're at a Horeb encounter. We're at a Horeb season in this new era. Between now and the end of this year, we're at a place to where God is dealing with us. And in this Horeb season, what's happening is God is giving assignments and he's commissioning us for where we're about to go in this era. It's a season of God releasing us and beginning to put inside of us what it is that he's going to do for the new era. We entered into a new era. We don't know what to do, but we're learning because God's downloading. And what he started here tonight with all of us, I'm going to tell you this. You got to understand, you're not here by chance. Do you understand that? Let me tell you, you didn't come here because you read it on Facebook or somebody invited you. You didn't come here because you saw a poster. Do you understand that? Guys, listen to me. If you think you came just because, you didn't come here just because tonight. God had millions of people that he could have sent to this place tonight to do this. But he sent you and he sent me. And I'm telling you what, tonight I'm receiving what God has for me here. Will you receive what God has for you here tonight? You're not here just because, guys. Do you understand that? Please understand that. If you think that you're here just because, you're going to walk out of this place saying, well, that was good or that stunk, one of the two. But I'm telling you right now, you cannot leave what we've encountered tonight. What little trickle of heaven we've seen, you can't walk out of here tonight and say, you know what? That was okay and I hope everything's good. You got to know God is up to something in us. And he's transforming who we are, and he's transforming us into the fullness of the image of what he longs for us to have. You understand? And what God's doing with us tonight is he's literally drawing us to a place to where there's a visitation. Prophetically, we're in a Horeb season. We're standing at a burning bush, and we're trying to decide, are we going to turn in and take a look at this thing, or are we going to walk on? If you walk on, you can walk on, but you'll miss everything that God's going to do, and you won't even see it or you won't even notice it. The sad part is that you'll never be able to go back and pick up what was. There isn't any catching up now. There isn't any going back and hoping that we can. This is a time where God's saying, if you want on board, get on board. But he's not slowing down. I'm telling you, the church is in for a hostile takeover. The Holy Spirit is coming. And there's going to be folks that because they've never seen it before, they're going to deny it and they're going to run away from it. But that's okay. But I will tell you this, God's got us at a place to where he's really moving us into that place to where if we'll just respond to him and if we'll look into it and we'll yield, we'll see him. Because it's marvelous what God's doing right now. Now, here's what's so interesting about Obed-Edom's house that I talked about at the very beginning. Obed-Edom was a man just like us. There wasn't anything special about him. He was created in the likeness and the image of the Lord. I mean, he was who he was. But he was the one that was chosen to host the presence of the Lord. Because when David chose Obed-Edom, he said, if you don't mind, I'd like to put the presence at your house while I go figure out how to carry it. And Obed-Edom says, I might not know how to carry it, but I know how to protect it. I know how to grab it and hang on to it. And yeah, I'll be good. You don't even need to leave. You just leave it here forever. It'll be fine with me. And Obed-Edom understood the glorious transaction that came because of the presence of the living God that established covenantal life and covenantal right in him. Okay? So, Lord, we ask you to show us your glory tonight. God, we ask you to transform who we are. And, Father, we just ask right now, God, that as you do what you do in us, that, Father, you would do it with a sense of your presence. Lord, we're not going to deny any longer that we're a self-centered people. We're just going to admit it and confess it tonight. God, we've made what we call church all about us. And Lord, the truth is we can do it without you. We've done it without you. Therefore, we have not had it, and we've never encountered it. So Lord, tonight we're asking you, do in us what you can do. And God, help us to encounter you. I realize, Lord God, we're just man. But Father, we are in love with you. And God, we know one thing. We got to have you or this isn't going to work anymore. Lord, we're all here for one reason, and that is we realize that what we call church, it doesn't work anymore and it's broke. God, we're here because we want to know you. Lord, we want to be the true ecclesia of God. We want to be the true church. We want to be the people, God, that are sustained by your presence and are transformed by your glory. And Father, Lord, we're not going to try to decree anything, God. We just want to receive what you bring. But Father, we do want to say that, Lord, we want to be transformed by what you do. So God, change us. And Father, we pray that tonight, that God, we wouldn't just simply try to have another meeting, but Lord God, let us have an encounter with you that, Lord, allows us to be able to see a side of you. Lord, we're at Horeb. And we're in a Horeb season. And God, we're at a place right now, Father, where we must see what it is that you bring. Father, we must see what it is that you do. Lord, we're going to look at this marvelous sight. And God, whatever it is that you ask for us and ask of us, Lord, the answer is yes. Lord, the answer is just yes. And Lord, we want to just say like Moses said, here I am. Here I am. Lord, we're just here. God, we want you. God, we want to see you. We want to have you. We want to hold you. God, we want to enjoy you. We want you and you alone to take us on a journey. So, Lord, we ask you to come and just wreck us, God. Father, and bring us into that holy place with you, Lord, that God, words cannot express, but Lord, we can possess because of you and you alone. You and you alone. God, we just want to thank you. And Lord, you're doing what you're doing. God, we want to say that, Lord, tonight that we are a people who are given, Father, to you and to your glory. Now, this is what I want you to do. While you just, right now, while you just are kind of lingering in what he has. We're going to pray. And we don't have really enough room to do what I want to do, so we're just going to do it right where you're at. If we were in a bigger place, I'd have you come forward and we'd do some things. But we're going to do this. And we're just going to say that this whole room is a place where we can encounter the Lord. And right now, I'm going to ask you, as we just focus on the Lord right now, I'm going to ask you to turn aside like Moses turned aside. And I want you right now in this moment to say, God, I'm done. I'm done with my performance. God, I'm done. I'm done with performing for you. Lord, I'm done with this deal that we have called church. God, I'm just done doing that. But God, I'm stepping up to a pursuit of you tonight. I'm pursuing you. Now, I'm not saying all that we've done in church is bad. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just simply saying we've made our relationship with God an activity on Sunday and Wednesday. We got to get done with that. And our relationship with the Lord right now is about pursuing Him. And right now, I just want you, right where you're at, to just say, yeah, God, here I am. I don't know how you need to say that. I don't know how you need to vocalize that. That's between you and the Lord. But right now, I want you to say, I am. If you really want to be, just say, God, I am. God, I am. And what we experienced tonight was an open heaven in worship. This is what God wants out of us. But it's also a realization that in this moment that we say, God, we want you. So I want you just to respond to the things that I've shared with you tonight. And I want you to just simply say, God, here I am. Lord, I'm just here. Lord, I'm just here. Lord, I'm just going to be yours, God. I am here to the place, God, that I'm turning into you. Lord, just like Moses turned in, God, I'm turning into you. Come on, just really begin. Just do a bit. Let the Lord break you. Let him bring you to the holy ground. You see, what was so interesting is when Moses got close to the place God was, God says, it's holy up here, Moses. And Moses is just like we are. He said, you know, Lord, there's just some things that is in me that... God, I don't know how, I don't know what to do. God, I just know that I need you, God. I want to hide from you, but yet you're calling my name. What do I do? It's a paradox when God starts dealing with us because we feel so inadequate. Don't allow your inadequacies to keep you from Him. Respond to His voice right now. Respond to Him right now. Okay? And just simply say, God, it's just you, Lord. I'm turning into you right now. I'm turning into you. I'm just turning into you. Kurava shandava hasata. Purava kashandava satava hayama sata. Just turn into Him. He's messing with you, isn't He? He's just messing with us right now. Say, God, wreck me, God. Just wreck me, God. Do in me, Lord, what all you can do. I mean, tell you, listen, this is a time to cry out to God and say, oh, God, I want you. Say, I don't feel anything. Well, it's time to cry out to let what you are line up with who He is. He loves us so much, and He cares so much about us. But we just got to step into Him. Lord, we just step into You right now. Lord, we step into You. Oh, God, we step into You. Korava shana vahasa davakasata. Shana vahasa navasana. God, I ask you just to stir our hearts and warm our hearts tonight. Lord, it's not about us. Lord, this is all about you, but we get touched in the meantime. Lord, we get wrecked in the meantime, Lord. God, we just ask you just to do that in us, Lord. Lord, you just take us and you change us. And Lord, you deal with us. Lord, you move us, God. Father, I'm asking you, do what you do and do it right. Do it best. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in us. Thank you, Lord, for what you're accomplishing in all of our lives. Thank you, Lord. it's all about you. And we just ask you, Lord, just come and just rest on us. The answer is yes. God, it's yes. Yes, 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 yes. It's you, yes. Lord, I just say yes tonight. Lord, I just say yes. Lord, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. We just say yes. Yeah, just worship him. Just take a minute. Just worship him. Just worship him. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, who was, who is, and who is to come. It's good. Just let him learn. You have anything you want to share? Yeah, that's good. I hear the Lord saying transformation is on the way. I said something yesterday I want to say again tonight that I think that is really true. And that is simply this. No longer do we need to say what the Lord is doing is coming because it's already here. Sometimes we recognize things and we think, well, that it... I'm going to find the right place to stand here in a minute. Sometimes what happens is we get into a place, we look with anticipation at what God is going to do. And we don't recognize that it's already here. Yes. Does that make sense? You know, if you're not careful, you'll say, well, I'm looking for what I'm looking. No, don't look. It's here. Open your eyes and see it's here. Because then you can begin to enter into what it is that God's going to be doing in that. You see what I'm saying? And I'm just going to tell you right now, every one of us are given an open access. This is a Revelation 4:1 meeting. Read it. Go read it. Write it down in your notes and go read it. It's Revelation 4:1. I spoke about it a little bit last night. This is a Revelation 4:1. This is an invitation to every one of us in this room. This is an invitation to every one of us in this room to step into something greater than we are. Now, I'm going to tell you, please hear me when I say this. You and I are not going to get the full impact of what's happening right now tonight. You're going to, listen, what's happening in us tonight and what's happening with us tonight is yet to be seen. It will take days, weeks, and probably months to unfold, but it began tonight in you. It began with the prophetic word that he has released over us, and it is sealed by the power of his word that is written to us and is empowered by the spirit that he has made to live inside of us. And what's happened tonight is God started something. Some of you visibly are having a touch from the Lord. But I'm telling you, man, some of you guys are going to go home tonight. You're going to sleep like you've never slept before in your life. But you're going to wake up in the morning and you're going to all of a sudden wake up with this new perception of God that you didn't have today when you woke up. And now things are shifting and changing. I'm going to talk about that tomorrow night. What do you do when everything starts changing? How do you handle it? And I'm going to talk about that because I think we need that right now. Some of you guys are caught in a place. Guys, I'm going to tell you, there are people that I'm going to talk with about this tonight, but and they're going to say, man, I wish I was there. Do you realize there are people in this region, in this area, around this country that would love to be in what we're in right now? Even though we don't fully understand it all. Okay? So I'm just going to tell you, God's messing with some of us. You're fixing to get so messed up, sir. You're about to get whacked completely out in the power of God. I'm talking three sheets to the spirit. Dude, it's on the way. You understand? God is really, you ever been in anything like this before? Guess what? It's going to get intensified and in greater. And God's going to do something in you. I mean, really, he is fooling with you. God's just messing with you. He's fixing to wreck your life. In a good way. When I say wreck, I don't mean bad. I mean good. God's going to wreck you, bud. God's going to cause you to see him in a way you've never seen him before. You're going to step into a realm and a dimension of the Lord that you've only dreamed about getting into. But you're going to have to take time to do it. You're going to have to slow down the process and step into what he's doing. Okay? Can you do that? Don't miss it. Don't miss what he's doing. Guys, we don't want to miss what he's up to. You certainly don't want to miss what's coming. If you miss it, ma'am, you're going to miss it. You don't want to miss what God's up to. Because I'm telling you right now, God's about to pull you in over your head. You literally are about to be caught in an encounter with God that is so much greater than you are. You're going to be undone for several days. Undone because of the presence of the Lord that's going to come and touch your life. And through this encounter, the Lord's going to set some order to some things in your life you've been asking him for. He's going to set it for you. So you got some tremendous order that's coming to you. Can you receive that? Can you just say, God, I want that in my life. God, I want it. And just let him do it. You're going to cry. She's going to cry for a while. Let her bawl. Just let her bawl. You're going to have a better wife coming out of this deal than you had going in. And, you know, and I mean, it's okay going in, but it's just going to get better is what I'm saying. I'm just telling you, God's wrecking you. And it's good. He's just going to smash a whole lot of us. Young, old, it doesn't matter. God doesn't care. I mean, he can wreck you when you're 70 as well as he can when you're 20. It doesn't matter. And God doesn't mind replacing your theology either. And I'm going to just tell you this right now. God is replacing some theology tonight. God's replacing some of the things that you thought about. God's only changing. Because God's in the business of just changing our theology. He's changing what we think about him. He's changing how we feel about him. And he's causing us to be able to see some things that we've never seen before. But I want to tell you this, God's a God of many chances. He is a God of many chances. He really is. He's a God who looks far beyond everything we could ever imagine. And he gives us what we need based upon his future and his destiny for our life. Let me tell you, several of you, and I keep getting drawn over into kind of right in here, and there's two or three or four of you guys right over right in here. God's about to just fulfill some destiny and some purpose in your life. But I'm just going to say this. He's not finished yet. You understand? He's just not finished yet. And you got to know that. You got to know that the destiny and the purpose of the Lord is not finished yet. And that's for you. You know it's for you. There's more to come. There's more dimension. There's a dynamic of the Lord that you're about to encounter that really is going to cause you to see God in a new light. In fact, I see the Lord putting new glasses on you. New glasses. You're going to see him differently than you've ever seen him before. Isn't that good? And you've seen some pretty good stuff, but you ain't seen nothing yet. So you're going to have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, the very things that we cried out to God for, he's about to fulfill them in our lives. And I'm going to tell you, you guys right back there, you guy in the white shirt right there, the white t-shirt, and a guy in the blue and white shirt right yonder, you guys are in for something. Just get ready. God literally is going to arrest you two dudes. You guys are going to encounter something in the Lord that can only be encountered because God gives it to you. You can't you can't achieve what God's going to do for you. Do you understand that? So don't even perform and don't even try. I'm just telling you right now what God's doing strategically. I'm telling you strategies hanging over you guys' head. To be honest with you, I see two sets of blueprints hanging over both of your heads. And God says it's time to roll out the blueprints and look at them because that's how he's going to build life for you. So there's blueprints that are hanging over the both of your heads. And God's saying, listen, what I want to do is I want to show you how I build things. And if you'll follow these prints, you'll have a structure that will forever, ever, ever be settled. Okay? And I don't know if you guys know each other, related or whatever. It just doesn't matter. I'm just telling you what's there. Okay? And you got to be able to say, God, here it is. God, here it is. God, here it is. Sir, you right there in blue shirt, I'm just going to tell you, you've only started. You've only begun. You've only got into a place to where God's doing some things. There's some things that God's about to do for you and through you financially that's going to blow your mind. But I'm going to tell you something. God says he can get it to you if he can get it through you. Make sure he can get it through you. So you need to have a hearing ear because God's going to cause you to be a sower. And whenever you sow, you got to learn how to reap. Amen? So when you sow, you reap. And you understand that when you reap, you sow. And whenever you sow, you reap. And when you reap, you sow. Do you understand? It's a continual thing. And so God's really setting you up for some very, very awesome things that are ahead of your life. And I'm telling you, you just got to know that what God's done for you and is about to do through you is greater than anything you've ever encountered before in your life. Okay? So be willing to step right into what he has. Because it's the dimension of the Lord that really counts. It's the dimension of the Lord that really counts. I had a friend who had I believe it was a cousin in Dallas, Texas. This guy was an auto wholesaler, had a business. And this guy would go in and he would spend the mornings with the Lord and do business in the afternoon. And he made more money than guys who worked all day long up into the night. It was because he gave God the first part of his day and he saw the Lord. God gave him favor in his business dealings. And that's what's going to happen to you. In fact, I see a lot of cars around you, to be honest. See a lot of vehicles. I don't know what you do or what that's got to do with anything, but perhaps that's a word to you and a confirmation. But I'm just going to tell you right now, God's going to cause you to prosper when others fail. Okay? So you understand it's a key of the kingdom. You need to understand. You need to seek the Lord. And just really, I mean, keep your heart so in tune with God. And you learn how to do business His way. Okay? Because he'll bless you if you let Him. Now, if you don't want Him to, He won't. Okay? But I figure you probably want Him to. How about that? Okay, that's good. Well, Father, we just bless You and thank You. Lord, we just thank You that, Father, we can see You and know You. Lord, we're just not going to end. We're just going to go and linger. And Father, we're just going to thank You and bless You. We're going to honor You, Father, for all that You've done with us tonight. Lord, I just ask, let the bush burn. Show us how to turn into it. Show us how to encounter You. So show us, Lord, how we can know You, Lord, and we can live in the fullness of what You bring us. And we give You praise for that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Here's the deal. I'm not sure what to do with this. There's some of me wants to say, if you need to go, go. If you need to linger, linger. I'm going to linger a little while because I'm just getting a bunch of stuff downloaded. So I'm just going to say, if you need to go, you're free to go. Just go quietly. We'll be meeting back here at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Is that right? Okay. But there's just more and more that's just kind of coming. It's real interesting. When we get in an atmosphere like this, it's just ebb and flow and ebb and flow and ebb and flow. Okay? So you be at peace with whatever you need to do. Don't feel bad if you need to step out. Well, you can step out. But just, we're just going to kind of steward what the Lord's given us tonight. We're just going to kind of hang in here for a little bit, if that's okay with you. Just kind of move with us. We're going to worship a little while and just see what God's up to. Okay? I do know this. I do know God's about to extend your borders. I told you last night one of the things that I saw was I felt like the Lord was really brewing something. And I felt a word of the Lord. And I heard God speak to me tonight about you. And He said, I'm going to extend her borders. You tell her I'm going to extend the borders. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to move the boundaries out. So what's going to happen is God's going to give you more opportunity than you've ever had before, but you must not limit yourself. You must not limit what He's going to do. It's like you got to give God your life. You got to sign the contract, and it's blank, and hand it over and say, okay, Lord, You just fill it in, and it's good. I'm good with it. And that's what's going to happen. So I really see the Lord multiplying some things. I see Him really extending the boundaries of your life. And I really see the Lord causing there to be a new dimension brought to you, both in the realm of His presence and His Spirit and your maturity and your walk with the Lord. You're about to enter a season of tremendous spiritual growth. But at the same time, you're also going to be standing in a dimension where you're going to see tremendous increase in your career. So you're about to move into a place where your career is going to begin to expand. And opportunities are going to come. And God's going to show you which ones you need to step into and what you need to take. And whenever you step into it and you take them, you're going to be doing good because you simply know you're living by the the direction of the Lord and you're living by the boundaries that God's given to you. So allow God to do in you what he wants to do in you, okay? Because God really is, he really is strategically forming some things for you, okay? And he's strategically moving some things around in your life. And it's his hand that's doing it, so allow him to do that, okay? Allow him to do it. Allow God to be God and do what God does best, okay? Because he really will bring some consistency to your life. There's a lot of questions that you've been having lately. The Lord's going to give answers. He said answers are on the way. And he said all the questions that you have will have an answer to them and even more. And what I see is once the answers to the questions are there, there's going to be direction about which way you need to go next. In fact, I really see a lot of direction coming to you. I keep seeing a roadmap over your head. And I see the Lord just saying, I'm going to show her which way to turn. I'll tell her to turn here and turn here. You just tell her I'll direct her life, and I'll get her to the destination she needs to be in. So he really is going to do that for you, because that's been one of the questions you've had from the Lord. God, what am I doing? Where am I going? What am I going? I'll tell you what, he'll tell you. You just pour your life into him, seek him with all your heart. Because I'm telling you, you're going to find him. And when you find him, it's going to be like a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Okay? It's going to be not only blessing to you, but it's going to be wealth to you, okay? So just allow God to do that with you and allow him to be able to form inside you so much of his character and his heart, and, man, you just step into the fullness of that, okay? So, Lord, just do that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you're bringing clarity and direction. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm.